This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture. I am Lee Chui Lin. Do you share your children's photos on Facebook or Instagram? Because since March, French parents who post embarrassing photos of their kids online and publicizing intimate details of the private lives of others, including their own children, could face punishment. That is, if their kids later decide to sue them for breaching their right to privacy or jeopardizing their security. So how do families document and share memories in the digital age, and how does it affect relationships? Under France's stringent privacy laws, parents could face penalties as severe as a year in prison and a fine of 45,000 euros if convicted of publicizing intimate details of the private lives of others without their consent. Talking about this today and how this affects, well, this habit we have, I guess, of posting children's photos online is Dr. John Ben Loy, U.S. licensed marriage and family therapist, and we're joined by Kitson Fung, a lawyer. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you.
So what is privacy, and how do we define it when we are talking about kids in particular?
I think we want to think about privacy by comparing it to just thinking of the notion of public and private. Right, public is you're walking down the street, everyone can see what you're doing, or if you're in a shopping mall, there's a sense of this is a public space. Private, you're inside the toilet, the door is closed. That's privacy. So when we talk about privacy, we're talking about the right to be able to allow yourself not to be put into public or to be exposed.
And when it comes to children then, how do we define the right to privacy for somebody who isn't yet, who doesn't always get to decide that for themselves? I mean, I'm a one-year-old or I'm a six-month-old. I don't have a phone, but my parent does. And, you know, my parent has an Instagram account.
Yeah. Well, I think everybody is posting up photos. Well, I shouldn't say everybody. Most people, all my friends are. You know, once you have a baby, you announce it to your friends, right? One of the reasons why I've invited Kitson here to join us is to give us a legal perspective to that. What do you think?
Well, overall, the United Nations have actually recognized that children have got a right to privacy. Article 16 of the Declaration of Rights of a Child indicates very specifically that that right includes the right to privacy. So that is entrenched in the law, and Malaysia has ratified the convention. So we should be developing laws as we move along, as we progress in society, to enforce these rights. So, and of course, a child is anyone below 18. Yeah.
So if someone posts a photo of me, even if that someone is a parent, would you then say that the rights to privacy of a child might have been violated because maybe I didn't want to be public, but I don't know that yet. I haven't learned how to talk.
I think that that million-dollar question, so-called, comes up when the child concerned comes to an age of understanding and appreciates their own rights to privacy, starting from being given a room and the right to close the door and not have parents come in. When they come to that age of understanding, then they develop a sense of being able to communicate with their parents as to what they would like have posted, sometimes if it's a photograph or not. So that comes into play then. So if you're over a certain age of understanding, you probably would be able to tell that, look, I'd rather if you didn't put that picture up.
Yeah.
And how does that affect the family dynamic, Dr. John Ben? Because I feel as if, you know, I didn't grow up in the age of digital photography, but I grew up in the age where my parents certainly photographed me a lot, you know, I was their firstborn. And it almost feels like embarrassing photos are a rite of passage. I think everybody would have, you know, like some naked potty photo somewhere.
That's right.
Like, it's just a part of
to be brought
what
up
happens
at a wedding day.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the complication now is it can be made public so easily. It's not sort of confined into that photo album, you know, that sits, you know, underneath your coffee table. So I actually experienced that with my children. And sort of there was an odd day when I realized my son was very unhappy, and he was unhappy because I had put up a photo of him. Now, it was a family photo, but he was not happy with it, so he was really upset. And then, you know, there was a discussion, and this was when he was around 10. So a couple of years ago, and there was a discussion around that. And then from then on, I have to seek his permission to post anything on social media. So actually, this is now standard practice in my household. It has to be asked. Now, my daughter
How does that make you feel?
I had to, you know, it was a transition and something that we don't even think about because, you know, the internet and social media sort of crept up on us. So these are issues that every parent has to deal with now. It felt odd, but the first thing I had to do was to put myself in his shoes. If I didn't like a photo and someone forced it on social media, made it public, then tagged me on top of that, how would I feel? So I wouldn't like it. And so, you know, on the same token, let's take a few more. Which one would you like? He likes this one. Then can I post that one? Yes. So it's a matter of, you know, teaching your children that they have rights, teaching them to speak up for themselves, and also ourselves learning how to respect that.
Do you worry that it's shaping vanity at all? I mean, just out of curiosity, because it is the selfie generation, or the post-selfie or the meta-selfie generation. I don't even know what to call, you know, the 10-year-olds now who will grow into 18-year-olds in a little bit. But yeah, is it kind of like teaching vanity in that you now teach them that they get to curate their own image in such a very specific way, you know? Because it's not just about privacy in this case. It's about, well, I don't like that because, you know, I don't look good there, you mm-hmm. know. Maybe this girl I like at school will see it and I don't want that there. Or whatever, you know. Do you worry about that?
Yeah.
Have I just caused you to worry about that?
No, not really, because I think it's inevitable, you know, in our day and age that people are curating their public image, especially online. Actually, sort of a segue, I did read up a little bit on that formally, and I realized that actually a lot of teens now realize that they are curating. And their view of social media is a little bit different from those of our generation. They see that, oh, this is how I manage myself online. There is another reality to it. I don't fully understand that phenomenon, but that was an interesting sort of read. But no, I'm not really worried about it because that's their reality in this day and age.
We're opening up our phone lines today and we'd like to ask you, do you post photos of your kids, your nephews, your nieces, your friends' kids online? You know, is that a part of your posting? And would it worry you about their privacy? Have you ever thought about that? How would you feel if they decided to turn around someday and sue you in the future because it's embarrassing? Give us a call. That number is 03-77-109-000. You can also text 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Looking at the phrasing of this law, right? What constitutes embarrassing photos and intimate details of one's private life from a legal perspective? How is that covered?
I think the overall definition of what's embarrassing is very subjective to the individual.
Yeah.
Some children are more akin to their, you know, semi-nude pictures or even being seen in swimming costumes. That would be, you know, to some cultures, that would not be acceptable at all. So I think it ranges very subjectively to what's embarrassing. It's not so much that they are caught in a position where they're literally their pants are down or not. So some people would, as they curate, as you say, their own social presence on the media, would deem certain things to be embarrassing and certain things not. The adult version, of course, is we often equate it with pornography. You know, as long as it's not literally showing a private part, then it's not supposed to be embarrassing. But I think that definition is very broad.
And when it comes to posting the intimate details of another's private life, the word intimate here, you know, seems to imply, well, in the adult setting, we use that word in a very specific way. When it comes to children, though, I mean, if I take a photo of my daughter sleeping, for example, that's an intimate moment, right? That's something that's happening at home in a private space. You're not expecting it. But if I post that, would that be considered, would that be transgressing this?
No, I don't think the laws are so specific to make it a burden on you to cross, to say that you've crossed the line. I think the general rule of the day is what's in the best interest of the child. If you as a parent deem that, okay, I think I'll be okay with that picture being posted online, if ever anybody downloaded it, it would not be abused, then that would be the guideline. And if ever you're called up by the authorities for posting something that appears on a pedophile's,
image database,
yeah, then you would have to answer to that first, your intentions.
We're talking today about posting your children's photos online. Is it fine or should you be fined based on what's happening over in France, where parents who post embarrassing photos of the children online could face punishment if their kids later decide to sue them for breaching their right to privacy. Up next, we find out what risks you're putting your own children at when you share their photos. But we're also looking to hear from you. I mean, I'm very curious. Do you all post photos of your kids, nephews and nieces online, your friends' kids, just kids in general, in your life? What would you feel like if they decide to sue you in the future? And are we losing the wonder, the wonderful rite of passage that is the embarrassing childhood photo in the age of social media? Give us a call. That number is 03-77-109-000. You can also text us at 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Good afternoon. You are listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me today, Dr. John Ben Loy, U.S. licensed marriage and family therapist, and Kitson Fung, a lawyer who is here because we're talking about privacy, particularly when it comes to posting your children's photos online, because we're looking at news from France, where parents who post embarrassing photos of their kids online could face punishment if kids later sue them because you breached their right to privacy or you jeopardize their security. And we're waiting to hear from you. Give us a call. We want to know, do you post photos of your kids online? And how would you feel if that backfired someday? That number to call, 03-77-109-000. Text 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. So what risks are you putting children at when you share their photos online? What could happen?
Immediately, the first thing that comes to my mind as a practitioner of criminal law is pedophiles. There are a lot of people out there who get satisfaction just from downloading pictures of that nature. And of course, it's an offense to possess pictures of that nature. So you risk that. The moment you post it online, it gets copied into all sorts of mediums. And next thing you know, there are web pages for child pornography. And if you were shown one and it happens to be a kid, how would you feel then? You know, that's the risk you take, that it gets copied and used and misused.
Do you have any real-life cases of how that might have happened, how social media posting, you know, jeopardized the security of oneself or one's child?
There have been a number of cases which unfortunately have resulted in the ultimate crime, which is rape. As we progress through the court trials, we realized that how the adult got to meet the child was from their social media postings. Postings not only of their face, but of themselves in very sexy poses. And so the person on the other end of the line, the adult, started contacting them, etc. So ultimately they met up with the adult and unfortunately rape took place. Thankfully, convictions ensued as a result. But how many more cases of that nature don't get prosecuted because there wasn't enough evidence? So, yes.
And Dr. John Ben, from a family therapist point of view, you know, how do you manage social media within the family? Because we're talking about parents posting photos of their children, but we also need to talk about, you know, children like your son who are going to grow up and grow into the social media scape and also need to learn how to negotiate it.
Yeah, when I think about this topic, it's immediately, it's not just about posting up photos or videos of your children. It's a bigger topic of respect, the respect of privacy of your children, teaching them how to value their own privacy, how to value their rights, empowering them, as it were, and also teaching them what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. So I was trying to think through, you know, I don't have any specific examples of social media visual postings that created problems for the family, but I could imagine, for instance, I was chatting with Kitson earlier, that I could imagine, say, a family whereby, say, a parent who is not of very sound mind or not very emotionally healthy could be, you know, prone to manipulation, could shame, say, a daughter or a son publicly on Facebook or some other social media to get them to follow the parent's wishes. These kinds of things can happen within the broader context of dysfunctions within the family itself. And it could have public repercussions in that way.
How do you both use social media? One, you know, knowing how it's affected our communications and yourself, Kitson, as as you say, as a practitioner of criminal law, knowing, you know, how it could be misused?
For me, I have a lot of individual rules I set for myself. If I'm not prepared to have that picture put on the front page of a newspaper, I would not post it. That's my general rule. And I share that with my kids as well. If I see them posting pictures, which I think would cause awkwardness for them when they are trying to be gainfully employed in the future, perhaps, then yes, I would have a chat with them. That would be the general rule I would have.
Mm-hmm. Up till now, I have not posted any pictures or videos of my children that's publicly accessible. Because as a therapist, we see all kinds of clients, and some of them are not necessarily safe. And we had to be very careful about what we expose the vulnerable to, i.e. our children. So I'm careful as a professional in that regard. Privately with friends, that's another matter, but it's people that I know and trust.
How do you think social media has changed relationships? Because now you have your real life relationship and then you have your online relationships. You know, there are things where you hear of stories of people getting offended if friends don't tag them in photos, for example. You hear of stories of, on the flip side, you know, you might not post photos of your children, or they might say, "Dad, don't post photos of me." On the other hand, I could also imagine children saying, "You never post photos of me. Mm-hmm. You don't love me. Now the world thinks that you don't love me." How does that play into everything?
Again, it's communication, it's conversation. You can use that opportunity to teach your children about privacy, safety. My children are in international school, and they, you know, the first couple of years, they say, "I've had enough with cybersecurity. I know everything about it," because they keep drilling it into them, because they do use the internet quite a lot for learning purposes. So make it conversation. And I think parents who may have started using the internet but haven't really thought through the ethics of it, the ramifications of it, it's a good learning opportunity to be able to think through these things. Even talk to a lawyer friend and you know, think through some of the repercussions, or talk to someone who knows something about children behavior, developmental caregivers, those kinds of things.
I've seen people who start Facebook pages for newborns. They basically start a person's Facebook life from more or less the time they were born. You know, Facebook says things like "born on whenever," and in some people's cases, it's true. It actually matches their actual birthday. And then parents post and populate those pages with photos with what they assume their baby would be posting about. So that, to me, I would like to pose that to you both. You know, from a family's point of view, how does that work? And from a legal point of view, what is that like? I mean, is that an invasion of privacy to be forced in some ways to have a social media presence before you actually have a say in things?
Well, from a legal perspective, there's nothing to stop you as a parent from posting
sure.
these pictures. You are well within your rights. As I mentioned earlier, the question is, when it comes to a certain age of understanding, the child does have that right to ask you to remove this content, whether in entirety or in part. I think that will remain a right of the child, that the child has throughout his life up to the point where he leaves the home.
How does that work? I mean, so say I reach that age of understanding. Let's say it's 12, for example, right before I head off to high school, and I just want these baby photos taken down. I don't want my friends who might soon be adding me to be able to see me as a baby in diapers, to be able to see my whole life. So obviously I could ask my parents, and if mm-hmm. they say no, what then? Do I have any roads into getting that taken down?
If the rights to the picture are in a gray area, it's a question of who owns the right to the photograph. It has always been an issue whenever you go to a photo studio, let alone take a photograph with your own camera. Who owns the picture? Is it the photographer, or rather the owner of the camera, or is it the subject matter? So I think that area of the law is all up to the individual consent. So I think for a young child, if you've run out of exhausted your chit-chat option with your dad and your parents, then your only other option is to try and speak to another member of the family or concerned person who could have a word with the parents. And if that fails, I think you can try to write to the Multimedia Commission with an aim of sharing with them your concerns and that these pictures should be taken down.
Can I write to the site that's published? I mean, the site upon which they're published?
Yes, of course. You could to the actual website. Even Facebook, I'm sure, will entertain some of the comments you make, depending on what they are.
Mm-hmm. It is tough. I mean, who's going to listen to a 12-year-old, right? Yeah. In your
I don't
case.
Want my baby photos up there anymore. Take it down. You know, it's a difficult thing.
It is tough. I don't have an answer for what to do for the child except...
I'm curious, you know, how it affects somebody to have a social media presence hoisted upon you. It's one thing to actively engage. You know, it's one thing to look at your peers and say, well, he has Instagram and she has Instagram. I want Instagram.
Yeah.
It's another thing for your parents to have decided for you. You will be on Instagram.
Well, let's speak to the parents, right? So parents, if your children are starting to show that there are, you know, some displeasure to being, you know, having things shown online outside of their control, do take that seriously, even if they're 10 years old. Really seriously consider that how they feel. You know, imagine what it would be like if someone started an album of you that you have little control over. You know, so let's speak to the parents first and say, you know, talk to your children and start to understand that and respect their wishes. Where the children are concerned, I guess, you know, seek the help of another adult.
Yeah.
We're waiting to hear from you. Give us a call. Do you share photos of your children online? And how would you feel if your child turned around and said to you, please take that down? You know, I don't
feel guilty for admitting it. Yeah. we all do it. We're all learning together, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. How to negotiate this new space. Give us a call. That number is 03-77109000. You can also text 0162019000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Overall, Dr. John Ben, would you say social media is bringing families together or pulling them apart?
Distant families pulling them together, definitely, no question about it. Work with a lot of international families, and that's how they stay together. Yeah. In terms of families that are together, if you're at a dinner time and everyone's on their social media, then you're not talking, and you know, I think is, you know, maybe put it away. You know, I have the dedicated face-to-face conversation. Yeah.
Is social media? I mean, the word "social" is there. Do you think that it's actually teaching? It's a good way to learn how to negotiate the vagaries of the world, or as you pointed out earlier, is it two separate spaces? Online is one space, and the way you learn to conduct yourself online is best for when you're there, and when you're out in the world, you have to understand that other rules can apply.
I think we do have domains of behavior. We do act certain ways in different spheres of social reality. So, but then these also overlap. So you can't just, you know, make a statement on social media and think that it's not going to have an implication in real life and vice versa. So both?
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
Kitson, earlier you said you give your children kind of a basic rule of, look, don't put anything up there that you wouldn't want seen on the front page of a newspaper. Have you found them compliant? You know, are you finding them receptive to that kind of guidance?
Yes, my daughter particularly has been very compliant, I would dare say, particularly with certain photographs. But only after, as Dr. John Manloy said, I had a conversation that explained the whys I put these rules. It's not parameters for just control for the sake of control, but more for it's more for them. I'm always sharing with them, what would you like to see in 10 years' time? Would you be proud of that picture or not? Now, whether it's with a set of friends or alone, that picture could be misused. So, yeah, I think it's about sharing with them and making them understand why you would like to have them remove it.
We've got Coogan on the line. Good afternoon, Coogan.
Hi.
You have some tips to share.
Yeah, no. First of all, I am also a parent myself, and I do post a lot of photos of my daughter online. which I take pride on. Of course, I do show to my daughter that this is the photos I'm posting it up. And she's often very excited whenever she sees a photo on a post on the social media. For now, she's only 10 years old. But I'm sure when she grows out of it, maybe she might have an opinion about it, per se. But in terms of tips, right? Now, I'm an IT guy, and I'm very so socially active and on so on forth. What I understand is for most of the social network these days have a lot of privacy settings that you can actually control who sees what on your profile, and that actually gives the control to the account holder itself. Now, say for example, if it's somebody else posting a photo of me, I could actually complain back to either Google or Facebook. I could actually tag that photo and report it as this is a photo of mine. I want it to be taken down, and they actually immediately action on it. Within a day or two,
they will follow up.
Yeah, it's actually not a person per se. Like for example, Facebook has a system behind it. It's not manual. It's done on an automated basis. The system recognizes, okay, this is your photo and there's a complaint about it, immediately they remove it. And this goes not only for personal photos, any photos that are perceived as inappropriate as well. So I think the social network or the portals these days, I think they've really taken it up a notch these days, and they give the power of managing things back to the user. And they employ systems that can make things much easier as well in terms of the support work per se.
Thank you so much for the call, Coogan.
That's really good to know that some of these social media apps companies will follow through on privacy requests.
Especially even if it's from children, you know, because that's a fear that children have, I would assume, you know, to fear not being taken seriously in the adult world. Suresh says, I think it's perfectly fine to post photos of my kids, but it's definitely wrong to register a social media account and put up photos on behalf of them. This should also be illegal because I believe there's an age limit to have a social media account, right?
That is true, yeah.
Facebook is 13.
Facebook has, different rules for different social accounts, yeah.
However, you could argue that the account holder is above 18. It's just that they've registered on behalf of somebody who isn't. So I suppose that's where it gets a bit tricky. Looking at this particular issue, this idea that children can turn around and sue their own parents, what does that do to the family dynamic? I mean, I can't even comprehend that.
I would say that if it came to that, the dynamics is already pretty damaged. So, not a good situation to be in, definitely.
So by the time we get there, you would think that there are larger issues at hand to kind of talk about rather than just the
always.
Embarrassing photos.
Sorry, I'm a family therapist always.
Yeah. We have a call from Kelvin. Good afternoon, Kelvin.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Okay, I've been listening for a while. So I was like thinking, you know, there's a fine line between embarrassment about photos of your kids and also bringing a sense of humor in it. You know, if I've posted photos of my kid playing the Nutella in the fridge and then caused himself a lot of
mess?
Mess, yes. So it's funny in a way, but then to whom it feels embarrassed, and how do I encourage my kids to have a little bit more sense of humor rather than being embarrassed about, you know what I'm saying?
Got it. Thanks, Calvin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think what could be humorous for us may not be very humorous for the other person, especially if they're feeling hurt. I suppose the first thing to do is try to say, oh, this is just for fun. And then turn it around. Maybe you yourself could be subjected to that similar kind of behavior and then think that, you know, that's fun. That's one way to make lighter the matter, as in, I also, you know, this can happen to me, and here's the proof. Do, you know, maybe I'm a little bit too cautious here in light of my profession, but that's what is sort of borderlining on bullying too, because sometimes people can think something is really funny on another person, but the other person doesn't like it, and not having the sensitivity to stop that constitutes bullying behavior inadvertently, not saying that necessarily they're trying to bully, but the behavior itself becomes that or becomes perceived as that. Taking the safer caution, taking the more conservative option, I think it's probably the better way to go.
Just to play devil's advocate, though, we don't necessarily want to raise our children with thin skins, because you might be kind to them and you would hope that the world would be kind to them. But of course, there will be people who will poke fun at you and in a less kind way than your father, you know, for whom something embarrassing might be funny. But someone else might genuinely make fun of your child. You know, how do you build thicker skins, I suppose, while also being sensitive to their needs?
That's a really good and important question, because many parents think that if I toughen up my child more, my child will be better in the world to handle situations. That's not always the case for every child, and we need to know the difference. Some children are quite sensitive, and the way in which they respond to further threat and toughening behavior is actually to close down and feel really bad about themselves. Some children rise up to the occasion and say, I can do it too, right? So parental understanding and sensitivity is important. And I think above all, the safety that the parent provides at home is more important, so that if bad things do happen outside, they can feel safe to come back to the parent and work that through. If the home is not a safe place, outside is not a safe place, where's the child to go?
But we can, so when we make fun of ourselves, then we are in some ways teaching the child that we can laugh together and it can be safe while we have fun together, not necessarily I'm making fun of you.
Absolutely. It's multifaceted, right? And so we want to develop sensitivity to the full spectrum of human life.
A contribution from a listener. Privacy settings won't do much good when anyone can take a screenshot of the pictures on social media. Kitson, how does this, because it's not just as simple as downloading pictures anymore. We talked about that earlier. But now, we could also just screenshot pictures and take them. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, taking screenshot pictures is the way to go for a lot of times when you don't want to be seen creating an internet footprint by downloading. You just take a snapshot of it. So sometimes that is the format that a lot of people take when they're trying to hide themselves, you know. So, you can't stop that either.
Can we protect ourselves from
that? Can we protect ourselves? I'd say no. Physically, it's almost impossible to stop anyone from taking a screenshot of anything, particularly of embarrassing photograph. So, no. I think the parameters of law enforcement, if ever there was one, would be tested if you're asking them to try and stop that.
Which is why your primary focus is to just not post these photos in the first place.
Yes.
Okay. I come back to my earlier question about how embarrassing childhood photos used to be something that were treasured, you know. I guess, can they still be treasured? How much of it relies on external validation? Because we used to take those photos, keep them aside, just show them to family, and that was the validation we got. Yes, your child is very cute. Whereas now, for some reason, we seem to want validation from 100 people to say, yes, your baby is gorgeous. How does that work, Dr. John Ben? How do we work out? How do we rid ourselves? And I'm not a parent, but I'm going to assume that that is something you want. Because you can always take a photo for memory's sake. Mm-hmm. There's no need to post it. Mm-hmm. The posting is the issue here.
Yeah. One recent study showed that new mothers who posted who were more dependent on such validation, it's like number of likes on Facebook, for instance, are actually less healthy than those who do not need such validation.
Emotionally healthy.
Yes, that's right. It's, getting the likes as a validation of your worth, of your child's, your newborn's specialness is not necessarily the best way to go. So again, how it depends on the person. If it's just a minor thing, try to look within. Try to treasure that which is intrinsic to you, and not necessarily thinking that you're only worthy if there's lots of likes on your loves on Instagram. But if it's a little bit more complicated than that, and you really don't have anybody else, then, you know, that that can give you real life face to face validation, you might want to consider talking to a counselor.
How do you avoid passing down those values to your child? Because you know, if you grow up in this atmosphere where your mom might even tell you, hey, I posted a photo of you today and it got 500 likes, you know, you should wear that dress again sometime soon, for example, you know, and it starts kind of feeding into your daily life. How do you avoid that happening? Because, again, we're growing up, we're all learning together in social media as such, but I can see that very easily happening.
Yeah, I deal with what's clinical and what's normal. You know, within a range of normal, you can have some people kind of liking that, but it doesn't constitute dysfunctional attitudes or behaviors. So when it does become dysfunctional...
When it makes you sad not to get those likes, for example.
Feeling a little down is not a big issue, but if you stop being able to function if you feel like you can't go out, you know, then, yeah, that's indicative of trouble and... again, you know, do seek professional help.
On the flip side of it, as a user of social media, Instagram, Facebook, sometimes we can be also overwhelmed by the sheer number of photographs coming from a certain person.
That's right.
Children, etc. Right. Repeated pictures, so like 200-300 pictures on a particular birthday. So we have the overdose there as well. So I don't think that's going to be very helpful to me. Keeping in touch with you is one thing, but when you overdose it, we have the flip side.
Kitson, some of the things that you've said today have been quite frightening in terms of how little we're protected online. What are current consent laws regarding child photography or videotaping and then following that, publishing those photos or videos?
Well, currently, of course, the area of law enforcement is centered around modesty issues. If, for example, you post anything that the law enforcement officials deem to be obscene for sake of the definition, or reveal too many body parts.
Immodest,
that's the word. When you outrage the modesty, the offense. The offensive word is that. Then the commissions come in and try to enforce that. They can also inform the web content holder, Facebook, whatever, to remove that. But as a child, you have very little protection other than to call upon your parents to write to the agencies concerned, and in the hope that they have, within a one or two day period, remove that. So those are the protections you have. But you entrust a lot to the parent. And as Dr. John Menloy says, sometimes not all parents are on the same wavelength about the importance of having such content removed. So therein lies the problem.
So the parents really are the gatekeepers.
They are the gatekeepers indeed.
The law is implemented in France, the law that we were talking about earlier. Do you foresee it arriving to our shores? You know, would it work if it were applied here?
I think at sooner or later, these laws will come to pass here, in the sense that there will be lawyers who take up cases or are asked to take up cases for adult children, I would dare say, who would like to have content removed, I think. Especially, I can imagine situations where stubborn parents refused for one reason or another to remove the pictures. And if this person who is now growing up and is trying to formulate a new identity for himself and trying to move, let's say, into politics, etc.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
You know, and these pictures are still there because of stubborn parents. I think that child, well, no longer a child, sorry, that young adult now may want to consider legal action. Of course, as an adult, you could try the uncle, auntie way, talk to the parent first. But failing which, then yes, you would have the legal right. Even now, I think you have the right not to be defamed. I think that's the one they go for. Once you're over 18, you know, defamation is defined very simply as a lowering of the esteem of a person in the eyes of right-thinking members of society. So as long as you pass that threshold, you are entitled to sue. Right,
right, because I could say things like, not just my reputation, but my income and so on and so forth. It could affect these things. Okay, to close off then, because I don't think that we here are going to stop people from doing what they want, and what they seem to want to do is to post many photos of many babies online, which is fine, but what would be a general guideline, or what would be your advice for parents who do want to continue sharing these photos online, but also are very cognizant of not compromising their child's privacy?
I think have a conversation with your kid. As Dr. John Van Loy says, openness is everything. You also must remember that you have a duty of care under the law to always act in the best interest of the child. So have that as your gate, as your benchmark, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. And I think that we need to realize that we are entering into a technological interface that we have never faced before. So there's going to be new ethics, new habits, new parenting responsibilities. So becoming very conscious, reading, thinking, talking about that and what that means, how it feels like to sort of lose your right as a parent to do certain things, thinking long term, because we don't know what's going to happen with more and more publicity. Our lives, private lives, are becoming more and more public, and we can't control that.
Thank you both very much for coming in today. I've been speaking with Dr. John Van Loy, U.S. licensed marriage and family therapist, and Kitson Fung, a lawyer. Together, we've been talking about the issues and ethics and privacy of posting your children's photos online and how that could affect your family. You've been listening today to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.